Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies. Just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha ha ha.
Welcome to episode 9 of Bit Season. I am your host, Matt Valdez. Joined with me is the one, the only, Adam Epstein. Adam, how are you, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Dude, AWOD. This is a two-man show. Drabby is under the weather. He left the show Tuesday, right in the middle, and then he gave us word Thursday night that he wouldn't be in on Friday. So I appreciate you coming in to do a two-man show with me. And we know all of the Bit Season fanatics couldn't go a week without their Junkies recap and without our story. So it's just going to be me and you while Drabby's under the weather.
It's kind of funny because we almost jinxed ourselves last week because the topic of the show was, what would we do if you had a vacation or you couldn't be here?
Right. I'm a little disappointed in Drab because we had this discussion last week about taking the show seriously and what we would do if someone couldn't be there. So now we got to do the heavy lifting for Drab. Hopefully he feels better, but we will Joan a little bit on him.
Of course.
I could tell also when he came in on Thursday, I couldn't really tell if he was feeling okay. It's hard to figure out, especially with Drab because he kind of is secretive about it. But you could definitely tell he was in a bad mood, and I couldn't tell if it was illness related or if it was his weight gain, because he was very, very depressed. And that's something that I wish he was here to talk about. But as someone who gets joned on about their weight gain, you can kind of give us some sort of insight about how the junks will handle it. They'll bully you to death.
Absolutely.
If they know that that you're putting on some LBs, they will needle you nonstop, basically, until you develop bulimia.
They will be the reason that you start doing keto or, you know, cutting out sugars, because they just get under your skin.
Drab had this theory that he gained all of his weight because he didn't have any alone time, right? That seems a little counterproductive, because I don't know how. He says he's going on walks with his kids in the stroller, but he says he has no alone time. He has no time to go to the gym, and that's why he gained weight.
I think it's more to do with, I think he's eating the food that's meant for his kids sometimes, and like snacks, and he's just like,
he's snacking.
He's snacking all
he's
day.
He's probably snacking more than ever, because you're probably have your kids on some sort of meal plan that they need to eat every X amount of hours. So he's eating with them. And he told me his treat, right, that he loves. His treat is Tostitos with peanut butter.
Yeah, I've heard about that before. And I know that they will wake him up.
That can't be good. That can't be good, right?
I mean, it's sugar, it's carbs, it's terrible for you.
But fat.
He wakes up at 3 a.m. and, you know, changes their diaper or whatever, and then he'll have peanut butter and Tostitos in the middle of the night.
Well, I mean, that's reason number one why you're gaining weight.
Right.
And I mean, look at us. We're no Adonises.
No, but I did want to say you've been looking good today.
Really?
I think it's the black shirt, but I was like, holy crap, I'm doing the show with The Rock right now.
You know what? Black is very slimming.
It is.
So I think I need more black t-shirts. But this is my thing. So I basically build muscle to cover up all my fat. that's the route that I take. Right. I could be so much sillier if I would eat better. Didn't enjoy a beer after golf or something like that. My gut would be a million times better, but I just cover it up with muscle. That's what I do.
But you also eat at a good time of day.
Right. The fact that Drab's eating at midnight when he's feeding the kids, that's what's going to put on the pounds.
And then he wakes up at 5 a.m. and he already has a honey and peanut butter sandwich on the way to work.
I've never seen someone eat so much peanut butter in my life.
And he eats a lot of Wonder Bread. He never eats whole wheat. It's always white bread.
Is white bread worse for you than...
10 times worse.
Why? Because it's all starch,
growing up,
sugar?
We only ate wheat bread because I wasn't allowed to have potato bread anymore.
What?
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Also, one of Drab's vices, and we got to talk to Nat about this, is we got to get more Wave soda, because Drab likes to treat himself to like a soda a day. Maybe more. But we need Nat to send more Wave sodas for Drab, because that soda a day is going to crush him.
Well, and it's also the type of soda. So he loves, everyone knows this, Diet Mountain Dew. And when I started my new late shift, I was working at the office here and I decided I'm going to have a Diet Mountain Dew at about 9 p.m. Within a week, I had gained 5 pounds. And I'm telling you, it was because of the Diet Mountain Dew. So that's a big part of his weight gain.
Yeah. Speaking of soda, we do love Wave soda. Wave soda is awesome. It's super simple, just bubbly water with a splash of real juice and a little caffeine. It's unsweetened, so no stevia or artificial sweeteners. Just a clean finish with only 2 or 6 grams of sugar and 15 to 25 calories per can. Order now at wavesoda.com and receive 16% off by using the promo code BIT, B-I-T. If Drab would just switch to Wave soda solely instead of doing his diet do, and look, I understand it. You know, you don't want a little caffeine. You want a big caffeine jolt. So I get why he wants that soda, but I guarantee you, if he just gave it up for like 2 weeks, he would see a difference.
And on the show, you brought up black coffee.
Yeah, I'm a big black coffee guy in the morning.
Me too. And I think it's something that Drab should do.
I just thought it was funny that Drab's first coffee that he had, He spilled all over the keyboard.
Yeah, that was kind of hoping that you guys took pictures of that or something. Like, did he mess up? Is the computer broken?
He needed Roger to come in and replace the entire keyboard. It was leaking out of the keyboard. He was holding it up and it was dripping down. It looked like a pot of coffee was brewing underneath of it. So, but the big news that the Junkies announced, well, JP sort of announced Tuesday, was his second book, Still Barking. He did it at 8 o'clock, right before Ron Rivera came on. It was kind of emotional for JP.
It was.
I guess his mom was the impetus for writing the book. But I had some thoughts about it. some good, some bad. And I know I know what's going to happen too. And God bless you guys. I love you, listeners. But this is exactly what's going to happen. Is you're going to hear this, and you're going to nitpick all of the bad parts, and you're going to take them out of context, and you're going to go tweet them to JP.
Right, and then he's going
to
respond.
And then JP's going to respond to it. And then JP's going to come in on Monday, and then he's going to have to ask us to explain what we meant by that. So I know exactly how this is going to go. And trust me, I'm going to praise JP. And I'm going to not crush him, but I'm going to show what I didn't like about the announcement, about the book, and so on. But the book's still barking.
Were you like hoping it was going to be called Chasing Rocky 2?
Well, no. All right. Still Barking is basically the junkie's tale, right? From childhood growing up to their start in radio. And then some of the behind the scenes things that happened, and then their life throughout radio and how they've remained friends throughout and how they're still going. I think I basically summed it up for you if that was your Cliff Notes version. But this has been probably a year and a half worth of work for JP.
Yeah, I remember he hit me up during the pandemic and was asking me questions about it. So it's been going on for a while.
So behind the scenes, JP basically interviewed everyone who influenced the junkie's career. And I was lucky enough to get a chapter in the book, I guess. To be honest, JP, if you're listening, I still haven't ordered your book. I plan on doing it if we don't get free copies.
I was actually going to plan on not ordering it and ask for a free copy.
Do you think we'll get a free copy?
No
chance. Is that too much to ask?
No, because I think he wants to get rich off this book.
You think this is a money? I think making money is secondary to telling the story. But I think making money is a part of it. Don't get me wrong. I think he's happy when it sells. If he wasn't, he would still tell people to go to Amazon. But why is he telling people to go to Still Barking? Because I think he gets like $2 that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the money is the most important thing. I think he does want to tell the junkie story, but it's like, why do you want to tell the story now? They're still barking. There's, you know, it's not like the show's off the rails.
Right. Something could happen. Well, right. Because he wants to use the show.
He's going to write a third book. I guarantee it.
Do you think so?
I know it.
So he wants to use the show as a vehicle to sell the book. Mm-hmm. So you can't do that if you retire and then you write the book. So I understand the timing.
Yeah.
But it's weird because like it's flaming. In book form. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like JP loves this, the story of the growth and the career arc of the junkies.
It's a great story.
And no, it is. And you know, we're not putting down the story or anything. And it's one for the ages, and it's not anything like it. It's hard to find a success story like the Junks. I mean, especially in radio when everyone gets canceled or everyone gets fired.
People go to different networks all the time.
Different markets. You know, you think of the radio guy and you think of Private Parts and you think of Howard Stern going from market to market, from Detroit to D.C. to New York, basically living out of a car for half your life until you make it.
And it's not just radio. TV people, too. They travel all over the world before they finally settle down.
But this is a passion project for JP. And I understand the pride in telling your story. The problem, well, it's not a problem, but at least for me, and maybe it's because we're around it so much, is that we've heard the story 10,000 times. And I think that's because we're a part of it. So I don't know, maybe the listener or the casual P1 has a different view of it as opposed to somebody who's knee deep in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think people are going to enjoy reading it 100%. I think part of it, you're going to also relive some of those memories, you know, like you heard that segment.
Right. And then also it makes me curious of what made the cut. You know what I mean?
Right.
And JP, well,
can we say behind the scenes, like he told me he wrote over 1,000 pages.
Oh, I felt so bad for the editor. Because imagine JP flaming in book form and you're the editor and you're getting these reams of paper that you got to go through and that you got to cut out because it's. Muzzle's a bad word, but it's hard to muzzle JP. All right. And so basically you got to do it in word form.
Yeah.
That's a lot of reading.
It's a lot of editing. Man, I mean, so it's a lot of work to be that editor. He said he was like sleeping at the editor's house, basically just living
there.
Oh,
that's trifling.
Yeah. I mean,
did you get interviewed for the book? So it's felt like forever since I got interviewed.
That part tilted me, to be honest, because I actually thought it was a great thing. Like, JP's writing a book about the Junkies, and he wants to include me. I was butt-sized. You know, I was over the top. I immediately called both my parents. Said, I'm going to be mentioned in a book. I felt so silly. And JP says, oh, yeah, I'm going to sit down and interview you. I thought he was going to invite me over, wine and dine me. Thought he was going to buy me dinner. Not just pot bellies, but something silly.
Does it rick you that he took me to Coastal Flats?
He actually took you out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now I'm very tilted, because it turned out for me from just a sit-down interview to a couple emails and then to, hey, just respond to this text when you get a chance. And so my texts are what ended up in the book.
Do you have, like, your own chapter?
I'm mentioned a lot in the Skits and Bits chapter.
Yes. I think I'm in there as well. And I think I might have, like, my own little thing. I mean, I better have my own thing.
I mean, Rom got his own chapter.
I sat down with him for 3 hours.
You actually did get the wine and dine experience.
Oh, yeah. I got the whole wine and dine.
You went to Coastal Flats?
Coastal Flats.
What were the appies?
We got crab cake apps.
Silly.
I know. He did it right.
I'm really pissed off. Actually, I'm ready to crush this book now. Are you kidding me, JP?
He even offered, he asked me if I wanted a beer. I said, no, it's like 11:30. Yeah. I was like, I'm good. And so I had a crab cake. Then I got some sort of salad. It was silly.
Did he let you talk, or did he still talk above you?
No, he let me talk, and then he was asking questions.
He was taking notes.
He was taking copious notes, so many notes.
That's like the book, Something About Maury. You know what I'm talking about?
Tuesdays with Maury. Yeah, Something About Maury. And I was flattered. I will say this. This made me laugh. Is that JP is like, he's one of those guys that doesn't think he's always right, but just like when he has something in his head, he gets stubborn about it. And so JP was asking me like how I discovered, he goes, so you discovered the show, like when you were driving, to basketball practice in high school. I was like, no, I was doing this and that. Yeah. Like I was driving to school in the mornings when you guys were in Baltimore on 99.1. And then he goes, oh, so you're on your way to bat. Like, He just went, like, I was wrong about my own story.
Right. He kind of tweaked the story to match his narrative.
Just not match his narrative, but, like, he had that idea. He could have swore that's how I listened
right,
to the show.
Right.
And then, like, a couple of the things didn't match up in terms of his head.
He thought you were losing your mind.
Yeah, he thought I was losing my mind. He thought I didn't know anything about myself. I didn't understand that. So he was like questioning my own memory about, I was like, well, JP, it's kind of my life. I kind of wouldn't remember it.
Well, he asked me the same kind of thing. And I think he mentions in it in the book that the first time I heard about the Junkies was because I was listening to LeVar and Dukes, because that was the show that I used to listen to on the way home from school.
And that's now, was that right? Or
it was right. But I had never heard of the Junkies until probably 2013 or so. I just hadn't heard of them. You know, I didn't grow up in a household that like listened to
morning radio.
Talk radio. Yeah, no, we listened to The Boss.
The Boss was The Boss.
You know, The Boss.
Remember Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce Springsteen, yeah.
Oh.
We listened to The Boss.
That's how you got your morning started?
Yeah, my dad loves The Boss.
Oh, that's so funny.
And Prince, a lot of Prince.
So you're upset that you didn't get your interview. Well, you just basically wanted a free meal, let's be honest.
Yeah, but I wanted to like to be able to explain things in details. You know this from working with me. I can't write, right? Like my grammar's terrible.
Oh, it's awful. If anyone sees Adam's like descriptions and headlines on the YouTube videos.
Oh gosh.
I mean that was
don't remind me.
That was a dark day in Adam's work history, because constantly you were being rewritten. You would come up with these awful headlines, poor grammar, poor spelling. You would spell guest names wrong.
I spelled Strasburg wrong once and Blue Shorts almost tried to fire me. So I can't write.
Trust me, I know, because every single time you cut up a video, you need us to give you word for word how it's going to be described.
I like to be able to copy and paste the descriptions and titles. But anyway, my point was that I felt like I could articulate it better in person with JP. I could explain the behind the scenes of the Cakes vs. A-Rod basketball classic that went down. You know, I could explain filming him during his beer mile that I knew was going to make it onto the book. I thought I could explain things better, but he just made me text it to him. And I think my chapter is kind of ruined because of that.
Now, do you think it's kind of like a best of book where he takes all the, it's kind of, that's what it sounds
that's,
like.
That's how he started the ideas. I mean, every chapter is basically a best of.
He takes his favorite segment and then starts opining about it and gives a behind the scenes
thing. You
know,
the Junkies Blitz is going to get three chapters.
Oh yeah, the Junkies Blitz. I think that might be the foreword is written by the Junkies Blitz. But I actually, the coolest part about the book, I think, isn't just the behind the scenes thing. And kudos to JP, because I wouldn't have the balls to do something like this. It's just to cash in your favors.
Oh, I know. He got the green-eyed bandit.
Like, he would, like, going to all these people and asking them to write, like, a little snippet or a foreword or whatever you want to call it, is take some balls.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want to go to Ryan Zimmerman and say, hey, do you mind writing a couple pages about this book?
Cal Ripken, John Feinstein. I mean,
And Feinstein is so grumpy.
And it's like people that you probably aren't really keeping in touch with very often. You know, they've come on the show hundreds of times, but
it's got to take some huge balls to do that. I'm actually might be more excited to see what they have to say about the show than what JP says.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
We should have an extended chapter.
I would, you know what? I would like to have written something. Why wouldn't I would like to have written the foreword to the book or a little quip to put in there?
Well, my thing is, I would have liked to see what would have happened if he brought in an outside journalist to observe the show for a month and then to write a chapter, you know, because everything's coming from JP's mind. What about Cakes' perspective? Does that matter?
Well, he's in the book.
Yeah, he was is Cakes like fully quoted, you know, about every little detail?
I don't think it's that type of book where people are quoted.
No, it's a lot of, you know, JP's memories.
Yeah. And you know what? That's nice. That's a nice thing to have. I will say another thing that I didn't like about the book this seems like just a pile on.
You get it at stillbarking.com.
Yeah, this is just a pile on, I guess. Is I'm not a fan of the title, and I didn't want to admit it to JP.
So I told him just 10 minutes ago. I told him I thought it could have been like Still Arguing. That's dead silence.
Still Arguing might be the worst possible name that you could come up with.
Well, I was thinking of a different word than barking. Like, when I listen to it, I don't think of them as barking.
I just don't like, I don't like the word barking.
Right.
I also don't like Still Barking. You know what? I don't like much about the headline or about the title. I don't think that personifies the Junks. Like Still Joning.
Still Joning would have been silly.
I think Still Joning is a lot better than Still Barking.
Still Joning might have been sold out already.
Because when I think of barking, I just think of fiery hot takes. Hot sports takes about injuries, Redskins,
Nats. I think of Jim
Nats.
Rome, right, for barking.
Yeah, I think of like caller-driven sports radio. And that's not the guys. The guys are personality-based sports talk.
Still silly. The last still, of the sillies.
Still silly. That's you know what? That's an even better one.
Right.
I think JP went with Still Barking because it's like if you're a non-P1, like if you didn't know what Joning was and you saw Still Barking in the library or at Barnes & Noble's, you would still pick it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's why you went with Barking. I just don't like it because that's not the guys.
It's not
the guys aren't barking.
Right. No.
And when you think of barking, you think of
a one man show usually, right?
I think, like you said, I think of Colin Coward, you know, screaming into the mic.
Right.
And that's not the guys. They scream at each other.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily call it barking at one another. So I just, but the thing is, how do you tell JP, who is as stubborn as a mule, that you don't like the title of his book, right?
Yeah.
And I know it's going to happen. I said it before. Everyone's going to go run to JP and tell him, Valdez, hate your book. And that's not true. I had some thoughts about it. And
you hate the title.
And yeah.
I mean, we can both admit that, right?
Hate is such a strong word.
It is.
But I hate the title. Do you know, I equate it to the Seinfeld episode when they're in the Hamptons and their friends have an ugly baby.
Yeah.
And you got to go tell the baby that, or the parents that the baby's breathtaking. Right. That's what I'm doing to the book right now, especially specifically to the title. I smile and I think, I don't want to crush JP's dreams.
Right. And your butt's ice to be mentioned in it.
Of course. I'm glad I helped out.
Right.
I think the idea of the book is great. You know, I'm happy somebody wants to tell my story, because I think my story is stupid. Nobody cares about me and how I got into radio and putting Icy Hot on my ball sack. Nobody cares about that.
The
sledgehammer to my car. Nobody cares that I was at a dunk tank with crabs. but for some reason, JP thinks it's funny and silly. And it's me-sized.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I'm a part of it. But I still have my criticisms.
So if JP came in here a month from now,
I couldn't say it to his face. That's
no,
the thing.
But if he came in,
trust me, I'm saying it behind JP's back.
Right.
I couldn't say it to his face.
If he came in here a month from now and said, "Hey, I got approached by Netflix. They want to turn Still Barking into a movie."
Okay, a movie?
Yeah. What would you say?
All right. Hold on. That I would be in the movie, or the fact
choose the actor that gets to play you?
Of course, I'd be psyched that it's on Netflix.
Butt-sized.
I do. Over the moon.
I actually think the Junkie story is good enough to be a movie. I think it would be a way better movie than a book. I mean, because I'm going to get bored reading it.
Well, that's the thing is, you don't like to read.
No, I listen to audiobooks now.
Do you think JP is going to do an audiobook?
I know it. And he's going to record it himself, just like John Feinstein does his books.
Is he going to sit in the side studio after he's done cutting MGM spots and start cutting his book?
Oh, my God. I don't want to produce that. It'll be 18 hours.
Oh, my God. And then especially if he was doing like a director's cut with side notes.
Well,
here's the longest audiobook ever.
He did tell me that everyone that buys the book, on the back of it, there's a glossary with Junkie's terms. I'm butt-sized to go through those and see what his take is on joning and silly. Because I feel like all the Junkies have a bit of a different take on, like, the word nubs or donk.
Right. What do you think of his golden ticket idea?
What's the golden ticket idea?
So, JP said the first 1,000 copies sold. I think there's going to be 25 golden tickets in the first 1,000 copies that he ships out.
Uh-huh.
And if you get a golden ticket, you're invited basically to a party at his house.
That's, you know what? I'm a big Willy Wonka fan.
That's so funny. So you get the golden ticket. I think it's based off of the P1 party. Because years and years and years ago, the Junkies said that if they ever got a number one ratings bonus, and this ratings bonus is massive. For all you insiders.
Right.
I mean, this thing is huge. Yeah, it gets me.
Is it big enough to buy a car?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That if they got number one, Jason would host a party full of listeners at his house.
Right.
So this is kind of a spinoff from that JP is going to host a party at his house, basically like a P1 party. Where everyone hangs out, who bought the book, and he's going to, like, do signings and stuff like that. I don't know what kind of reindeer games he's going to have, but I'd be
They're probably going to be watching a football game.
But I'd be kind of psyched to go to that.
Really?
I think so.
I mean, I'm always down to go and meet the listeners. I that's always my favorite thing. He said that he had to cut out the chapter about the Vegas trip, which was, like, I had just joined the show. Uh-huh. I still talk to people about that trip.
Well, speaking about that... I think it coincides with one other announcement that he had about the book. And this was kind of off the cuff, but it had me thinking that he deemed the book, the announcement of the book, a top five Junkies moment.
Yeah.
In show's history.
I actually want to get your take on this about the announcement. Was it genius or did it wreck you that he did it right after a Ron Rivera interview?
No, he did it before Ron.
Okay, right before Ron.
Right before. No, I think it's smart on JP's part because 8 o'clock hour is a big hour. We're getting ready to have a big guest on. So you want as many people listening as possible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, trust me, I get it. It's smart. And I thought the announcement itself went well. I didn't expect, you know, I mean, you almost cried on air. Yeah. And anytime anyone cries on air, I think that's good radio. So that was good. But when he mentioned that it was a top five moment in, number one, think about the number of moments that the Junkies have had in their career.
Moments or announcements?
I guess you could do both, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the book itself isn't really, it's about the show, right? But it isn't really show related.
No, it's a personal announcement.
Right? Well, it includes everybody, and everybody had kind of a help with it for JP.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily call it a top five announcement of the show. I think the fact that they had a poker tournament in Vegas to celebrate their 20-year anniversary is a huge, huge moment.
Moving to TV
is huge. I mean, a daily simulcast of the show is definitely huge.
Yeah.
Just thinking about moments themselves of like when like Brett's brother died. I mean, that was like a huge moment in the show. Maybe like fights, like in studio fights, bits, Cakes being in a coffin for 2 days was a huge show moment. Yeah. I think it's a great personal moment for JP has more than five moments himself. I mean, JP wrote a book before this one.
Right.
So you're saying this book, Pummel's Chasing Rocky, and even Chasing Rocky, the fact that you were in a fight and a boxing match.
That's
with
a
Jay
big
Watch,
announcement.
That's
right?
That's a huge moment. Yeah. How does this book trump that moment? Especially because this book is all about moments in the Junkies' history. the irony in that just made my head spin.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's kind of short-sighted and everything becomes the new top five. And that was kind of his thing, was that this was, in the last 5 years, this was top five, right? But they've been going on for 25 years.
Well, I can definitely see that in the last 5 years. Maybe decade, it would maybe crack the top five. But in terms of moving to mornings. I mean, your whole book is predicated on morning radio. Don't you think the move from nights to HFS in the morning would trump that?
Yeah.
Taking over for Stern, one of the most iconic DJs in the history of radio. So I don't like the fact that he used top five moments in Junkies history. That kind of ripped me.
I can see by the passion in your voice. I mean, it pissed you off.
All right. One other thing I also want to get off my chest about the book. I feel like I've been negative about it. After I do this, I'm going to say something positive.
All right. I mean, yeah. I've already said a lot of positive things. Like, I think it's awesome that he wrote a book. I think it should be turned into a movie. I think it's going to be a great read. It's going to also be boring to me.
A couple of observations. Number one, JP said he has a mystery testimonial in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Do you have any idea who you think it could be? No?
I mean, EB, maybe.
EB. But you realize the only reason why he did this, and then this is Chasing Rocky is before your time, correct?
Yeah, but I did read it.
You did read it?
Yeah.
So, you know who didn't read it?
Cakes.
That was a huge thing on the show.
Right. Not only did he not read it, I don't think he's ever purchased it. He's ever like held it.
Well, JP gave us all copies of Chasing Rocky.
Okay.
And Cakes was like the only person who didn't read it. Or just not even like a page.
Do you think Cakes was like offended by the book?
No. And I understand. I remember the argument like it was yesterday. Cakes' logic is, why do I need to read it? I lived it. All right. That's a silly argument. That holds up in court.
Yeah.
So I actually think that this secret testimonial that's midway through the book is JP's test to everyone.
Ooh, to see if you actually read it. Because you know hundreds of P1s are going to buy it and just look at the cover and just flip through a couple pages of the glossary.
No, they'll read it. They're not like you. They're learned. They can stomach 300 pages of a book.
Maybe, but I think they're, rather than reading it, they're looking for Joan material.
You think they bought it to Joan?
I think a lot of P1s bought it to Joan, yeah.
Or for the ticket.
Or for the ticket, or for the old school pictures of Lurch and his jump shot.
But I think that's the reason why we have this mysterious passage that's in the middle.
So who
is that? Is to test. So that way he doesn't have to come out and ask. You know what right. I mean?
Like, if you come to him and say, "Oh, it was really cool to hear Cakes' testimonial.
I can't believe so and so said that. You know, or I can't believe you got this person to say that." So I think that's his test, without having to come out directly and say, "Hey, Cakes, did you read it?" Or, "Hey, Lurch, did you read it?"
I mean, of the three other junkies, which is the one that you think has any chance of reading it? I think EB.
I think Eric will read it, because Eric has this bit of narcissism in him, where he likes Bit Season because we talk about him.
Right.
So why wouldn't he read JP's book? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could just see EB sitting out by the fire, and just as he reads a page, he's like screaming in his head, "That's wrong!" You know?
I could definitely see.
He's disagreeing.
You know, I could definitely see Eric getting in a fight with JP about what he put in the book.
That'd be good.
I would be psyched.
Yeah, me too.
But Cakes, I mean, if Cakes didn't read Chasing Rocky, why would he read this Still Barking?
Right.
So I could see Cakes not reading it. And I can't really tell about Jason. Maybe Jason would read a little bit of it, but he wouldn't read the whole thing.
Yeah, I just don't see when he would like take the time of day to read it. You know, like when
Jason doesn't like reading.
Right. And not unless it's lines, you know, betting lines.
he's too busy, yes, watching sports to read the book. Yeah. That's what I feel like his excuse would be. And he might take Cakes' excuse, where he goes, "Well, I lived it, I don't need to read
it." I actually could see Lurch ripping out a piece of that book and using it when he goes to the McSorley's bathroom.
Hey, you know what? I could see the guys putting Still Barking right next to the toilet. Is that an honor for JP, or is that trifling?
The fact that
you're using JP's book as your poop book.
It's forever going to stink.
It has poop particles all over it. You know, maybe some dirty hands touching it. You know, you got all the ears folded over.
Right. 20 years from now, you see it in the bathroom, still pooping.
You know, that's great for the show.
Yeah.
So if you know, everybody take a picture and tweet Bit Season of you keeping Still Barking next to your commode.
Right.
So
like your pants down by your ankles, yeah, and you can see the
That's
book.
Right. I want to see your feet with your pants around your ankles, and then I want to see what page you're turned to as you're squeezing one out, reading about the kickball game. All right. That's a great picture.
That's a
everybody,
good bit.
Everybody... tag JP in it.
And at Bit Season
on Twitter or on Instagram story. And we'll repost your story to ours if you're taking a big old plopper reading Still Barking.
That's a funny image.
Yeah. And by the way, I need to see feet, and I need to see the belt undone.
Right, you got to see the ankles.
Yeah, and I need to see ankle. I need to see leg hair. All right, and your jeans spread out. I need to see that.
That's a silly bit. If we get it, like, if we get it trending,
I think that's a great
with
viral
like 40
trend.
Photos, right?
That's a great viral trend.
Right. And JP can't get upset, because that's
no,
how you know
not.
That they bought the book.
Yes, and use the hashtag when we should do that. Hashtag still pooping.
Right? It's a great bit.
That's great marketing for JP.
It is.
All right, this is my last thing that I'm going to hate on. All right, I promise. We're being very negative.
But right? This is the biggest thing to hate on, though.
You think so?
Because as soon as I saw this, I was like, what the hell is this?
And I'm so happy that JP didn't use this for the cover, but the promo image of the guys where they're looking all hard and walking, and it looks like outside Nat's Park, has got to be the worst promo image that I've ever seen.
Cakes kind of looks like he has to poop.
Yes, Cakes looks like he'd be up for still pooping. Cakes looks like if Joe Rogan and Elmer Fudd had a kid. he's squinting, and his cheeks look really, I mean, and by the way,
his
Cakes,
right pack is popping out.
Cakes looks like he's 4'6" in this picture.
He looks tiny.
He looks so tiny. And then I hate the fact that JP's wearing pink in this. And they're all trying to look hard.
Oh, is that what that is? Because
yeah.
This is a black and white photo.
Yeah, yeah. That picture, JP's wearing pink.
And it looks, honestly, it kind of looks like he has a couple stains on the shirt.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes, like above the pee-pee.
Right.
Yeah. It looks like he was whizzing and then he caught a piece of the shirt or something.
Yeah.
And then Jason, I don't know why.
The sweatpants Jason's are driving me crazy.
He's got to be the laziest person in America. And he's known, he knew about this photo shoot for weeks. All right. It's not hard to put it in your calendar.
It tells you how much he cares about this book. Zero.
You know, it's a great point. I mean, this is a big deal for JP. And the fact that he's wearing a sports yak pullover and some team's sweatpants that are 4XL have got to be the most disrespectful thing.
The sweatpants are so bad. I mean, it looks lazy. They're very long, too. They're hanging over his shorts.
He looks awful.
They're hanging over his shoes.
All of them have man tits, too. I mean, like, this thing's Photoshopped. Couldn't they get somebody to Photoshop their man boobs out?
I will say, and I'm going to suck up to him because I know he's going to listen. I think EB looks silly in this
photo. I think EB looks the best out of all of
them. By far. I mean, the sweatshirt's kind of cool looking. The jeans look nice. They look like hip jeans. JP's jeans look like skinny jeans. It's hurting.
Yeah, JP's wearing his like running shoes with his jeans. We talked about that before.
And I like EB's face. It kind of looks hard.
Jason is wearing MC Hammer pants. I disrespect them. It looks so awful. And then Cakes, I don't know what kind of collared shirt that is. It looks like a DC United shirt from 2008.
It does. Cakes it's a silly camera.
Cakes's face is, I mean, he looks pained to be there. It looks like they're walking in slow motion.
Yeah. Schwartzy did this? Do you think he told them to like walk slow?
I don't know who did it.
He told them to look hard. That's the big, definitely, right?
Right. Do you know, it reminds me of the movie Casino at the end when all the old people are walking into the casino and it's in slow motion.
Yeah.
That's the kind of image that I have in my head. Maybe you would have canceled it if Jason showed up like that and just said, you know, we'll do it a different day.
Right. You'd think about it. I mean, I don't like that it's in a baseball field. Like, I feel like it should be football. They're way more of a football show, but maybe.
Well, they just did it outside.
There.
Well, they did it outside here,
and then they photoshopped it.
Yeah, well, not. I don't know if they photoshopped.
No, they definitely. Well, they like green screen. They cut out everyone individually, and then put them into this field.
Yeah, I see that. But the promo picture just was tilting. And then, by the way, JP's like the star of the book and like the author of the book. Shouldn't he be in the middle?
I think it would look better with the small guys in the middle and the big lurch on the outside.
All right. But I promise that's it. That's all we're going to do for Joning.
Yeah. Stillbarking.com.
Still barking. Still pooping. I would have gone with still Joning, but that's just me.
I would have gone with the last of the sillies.
The last of the... See, that
like the last of the Mohicans.
See, that makes no sense, though.
I mean, it doesn't unless you're a fan of the show.
I see what you're saying, but all right, let's end the book discussion with one good thing about it. You first.
Don't put me on the spot. You go first.
All right. I'm excited to read it. I will actually read it. Maybe unlike some people around here, I will actually read it. I appreciate JP asking me to be a part of it. That made me feel included, made me feel special. And the fact that he was willing to put in all that work says a lot about JP and why he's so valuable to the show is because he puts in a lot of work when it comes to segment ideas and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm actually happy the book's over with. I'm not going to lie. I'm happy because I'm tired of getting texts about when did this happen? What year did that happen?
That's the big thing.
I am so happy.
So many texts. So many group texts with me, you, and Drab.
Oh my God! So much. So much.
Blowing us up.
So many questions about when this happened, when that happened.
What was this guy's last name?
You know what? JP is an awful researcher. Yeah, it's not hard to find the date of something, especially something memorable on the show, because all of our Twitters went crazy, like when something happened. Just search it in Twitter and you find the exact date of it. It's not that hard. I shouldn't be working at the Library of Congress or something as a researcher. Right. It's called Google, JP. You can figure it out.
So I will say I'm happy to be included in the book. I'm happy that the book is getting released. I think it's really cool for the guys. 25th anniversary. I thought the 20th anniversary was cool. 25th anniversary,
yeah, that's
even bigger.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool that it's coinciding with another anniversary.
Right? It'd be cool if, you know, we could all get together again. Like, I know the bowling is a big part of the chapter. I still think that that was one of the best memories I've had on the show.
That was so much. That was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun.
And then you think it like was nothing, like a big old nothing burger. But but we never hang out like that as a show outside of
the 6
mics.
To 10.
Yeah, outside of 6 to 10. It's almost impossible to get all seven of us, I'll include you, out together at the same time. And I don't know, it's just funny. We're all being goofy and everything, and we're not trying to put on a show for listeners. So I like that he included that. But my last final thoughts about the book is just congratulations to JP. I recommend, if you're a fan of the show, fan of Bit Season, that you pick it up and read it. And I'm sure we'll find some critical parts about it to break down some more after we read it and Joan. Trust me, Joaning is a part of the show.
Yeah.
And if JP thinks that we're not going to Joan on the book,
right,
then he's crazy.
And Joaning is going to lead to more people buying the book.
Joaning is a part of the show. It's going to be a part of it forever. So, of course, we're going to Joan on JP. We're going to Joan on the book.
So I am excited to hear about the first 20 years of the Junkies in the book. After chapter 20, I'm going to go with what Cake said. I lived it. I don't need to read it.
I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
One thing that happened last week that we touched on briefly on Monday, it was at the end of the show, is that Eric's Twitter being hacked.
Yeah.
I mean, that was huge.
That scared me. Because I know how much EB loves Twitter, and I'm a big fan of Twitter too, and he has a huge following. Right. And I love reading his. One of my favorite things about EB is reading his tweets. I just think he's butt funny when he gets on Twitter during a football game or just when he's just taking pictures of the fire. And the fact that he almost lost his Twitter, I almost got a heart attack.
What do you think EB would do if they said, you know what, we were able to cancel your Twitter, the one that was hacked, but you got to start over?
I think he would start every show with at EB Junkies. You know, like how he's been throwing out his Venmo. I think he would just plug until he got his followers back.
What do you think? Let's say, you know what he should have done? The guy should have held it for ransom instead of trying to sell PS5s and scam people.
I know,
that
was the dumbest thing. He could have made so much money if he held it for ransom.
Right. How much do you think Eric would have given for his Twitter to come back?
I bet he would have given $1 per follower. So that's about $80,000.
His Twitter's not worth that much to him.
I think it might be.
No, he would just start over. I know, I understand he loves Twitter, but there's no way.
But the grind to get the following back, though, would drive him crazy. And Twitter's not, like, the big thing anymore. Instagram is. So I don't think he would ever build it back up.
So he just punt Twitter. Go be on Instagram.
Yeah, but Instagram's all pictures. It's not newsworthy stuff. He gets sized for the news babes.
He gets sized for the interaction.
The interactions, yeah.
What do you think about his excuse that he's blocking all these people because the guy who stole it has them blocked? I actually think he might have Peter from Burke blocked, that he might have JP blocked.
Really?
In secret.
I don't know about that. I just think more about how Nubs was his password.
Oh, I think about that all the time.
I just keep thinking about that. Like, it must have been Bickle06 or something.
All right, so if some hacker was able to get into his... my theory is that his password is somewhere in his bio or in his or in his name, right? Like it says Junkies, because his Twitter name
or
is...
Junks.
Or Junks, because his thing is EB Junkies. So maybe it's Junkies with like one. Or I said this on air that his password was like Redskins with his favorite Redskin.
Right.
It's that easy.
It's that easy. I mean, that's the thing is I as soon as I saw he was hacked, I changed my password.
You got that.
I got scared because I was like, oh, someone might be going after 1067 people.
They're targeting 1067.
I thought maybe.
How much? And by the way, Eric said he was able to see like the DMs from people trying to buy the PlayStation 5. Number one, if you're buying a PlayStation 5 from EB, you're borderline stupid.
I bought an Xbox One from somebody off Twitter last year for Christmas.
You did?
Yeah.
And it wasn't a scam?
No, it wasn't a scam.
But the thing is, Eric doesn't know anything about video games.
I know.
So if you listen to the show and all of a sudden you see EB selling Xbox Ones or PS10s or whatever.
You immediately knew it was a hack.
Of course.
Yeah. We got so many DMs. What did you think about this? People were DMing us, we need an emergency podcast.
You know, I like the fact that that our biddies out there are screaming for emergency pods.
I do.
I love that idea.
I wanted Eric to go into more detail about what was going on in his mind when that was happening.
Well, he was riding up to Poughkeepsie,
wherever. And he got on, he was able to get on TweetDeck or whatever and still see things.
Right. He was able to, he was basically had a front row seat to the destruction, to the carnage.
Which is crazy to think about.
I want to know if there were any B1s that like listened to Bit Season. Who messaged Eric to try and get a, or who Venmo'd the guy
to try to get an Xbox?
Yeah, to try to get an Xbox.
I mean, it's close to the holiday season.
One other thing that was mentioned on today's show is that, did you realize that this was JP's marathon day?
I forgot about it, and it's almost like, why isn't he hyping it up that much? Like, I guess because it coincided with the book, but this is a huge deal for him.
I guess it's because you had to pick your poison. You want to hype up the book or you want to hype up the marathon?
Did you know my dad ran 3 marathons?
Are you kidding?
No.
Your dad ran 3 marathons?
My dad ran 3 marathons. Boston, New York.
When was this?
40 years ago or something.
Was your dad a silly?
My dad was in super silly shape until he met my mom.
Is that how he got your mom? Was that he would flex his abs, his Maury abs?
Yeah. My dad used to be the king of the short shorts going on jogs.
Really? What year? What year was this?
Probably 75 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you, by the way, you're going down with your dad to Nashville.
Yeah.
And that's not this weekend, next weekend.
It's next Friday. Yeah. So I'll record Bit Season on Thursday.
What made you guys go down there together?
What my dad and I were talking about how we wanted to go on a trip together because last time we kind of went on a trip as a family, I said my sister kind of ruined it. Right, because she was always trying to go shopping and she didn't want to do guy stuff, you know.
So you wanted to do like a guy's trip.
I wanted to do a guy's trip, and we used to have season tickets to the Skins.
Well, that's weird.
We haven't had that in a while.
Well, that's weird that you're gonna do a guy's trip with one guy, your father. That's not really a guy's trip.
I don't know if it was like a bonding trip, you know. I don't know, man. Now you're gonna make me get emotional, but I for some reason with the pandemic and everything, I've been thinking about, I want to spend as much time with my dad while he's still here. All right, it's a hurting thought.
That's an awful thought.
But it's what's been going through my mind. I've been wanting to see my dad more.
All right. Out of all the cities in the country,
yeah.
Why did you and your dad choose Nashville?
I have no idea. It was his choice. 100% his choice. I threw out there Colorado, Vegas, San Diego, and Mexico. And I even said, let's go on a Euro trip. All right. And he came back with Nashville, Tennessee. And he's singing to me the song, Nashville, Tennessee, or whatever. I don't know. I don't get it. He's a tour guide, and all these people have been telling him to go to Nashville.
Has he ever been to Nashville?
I think he has been maybe once a long time ago.
Do you think he has good memories of Nashville, and he wants to go take you there and show you the way?
I don't think so. I think it's more about, like, he's heard such great things about Nashville. Like, in the last 5 years, Nashville has kind of blown up. Would you agree?
Oh, of course. Yeah. And Nashville's the prime destination for bachelorette parties, even bachelor parties now. Mm-hmm. It's the Vegas of the East Coast.
But why is that? Like, why Nashville? Because of the music?
Yeah, it's the music, and then it's just like Vegas, it's like an entertainment capital.
Uh-huh.
It has like this strip, their downtown strip, kind of like what Vegas has. So, and plus, you know, instead of flying 5 hours like you do for Vegas, you can fly 2 hours or do a 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
It's more accessible. Now, what do you have planned? So you said you're going to a Titans game.
We're going to the Titans game on Sunday.
Let me, number one, if you're going down there and this is a trip to try and pick up girls, basically, okay. Right?
I mean,
why are you going to a
football? It's not, the girls thought that's just me trying to get laid. Okay. You know, it's really to spend time with my dad.
Okay. All right. Know? Well, that's nice. That's nice.
And
I
the football game,
that.
It's like, we've been talking together about how much we hate FedEx Field. Like that's been a topic of conversation for 20 years. And then I've never been to any other football stadium. So that's kind of how that got.
All right. Do you have a game plan for when you go down? Like places?
Like an itinerary?
Yeah. Like places you want
to
hit up.
He's got some
ideas.
But
what if he doesn't have anything?
No. He's My dad's a tour guide. I mean, believe me, he's gonna have a thousand things.
Is he looking out after your best interests in terms of women? Is he gonna take you to like some karaoke bar that all the bachelorette parties go to?
No, he's gonna take me to music, museums, and food. Like, we'll go to good restaurants. It's not going to be like stripper central like you're thinking.
Well, you're trying to live vicariously through me, and I get it. You portrayed on air that you're basically going to be making out with chicks at a bar.
Well, because
you guaranteed to Jason that you're going to make out.
Because Nashville and all the southern charm down there and the fact that I'm batting a thousand outside of the state of Virginia.
Well, let me tell you something. When you're going down there and you're at a museum, if you're at the Grand Ole Opry, you're not going to be tonguing some chick at the Grand Ole Opry.
No, you're right. But after like 7 p.m.
When you're in Dolly World or Elvis's mansion, you're not going to be seeing chicks in sundresses.
Right. No. It's going to be boring from like 9 to 5. And then I'm hoping that after that, you know, I can bring the fun side of my dad out after a few drinks.
So basically, Maury is in charge of the day, and then you're in charge of the night.
Yeah, you could say that.
Do you have any spots that you want to go to? Or
I don't know if I should say this, but I got a few spots from Grant Paulson, who's been to Nashville a few times, and he told me the big spots to hit.
Well, I know Danny just had like a bachelor party down there, yeah. So you should ask him.
I should.
Now, are you really going to get video or picture of a girl that you kiss or make out with?
If it happens, 100%.
Is your dad going to be on phone duty? You got to let him know.
I'll let him know, and he probably listened to that segment on the junk, so he's probably going to call me later. I mean, like, I was putting on a front for the junks, trying to make it like a sex trip. It's going to be really just father-son bonding.
Okay. Well, why'd you do that? I was excited for the AWOD Nashville sex trip.
I mean, believe me. I'm going to be going hard at nighttime, and I guarantee there's going to be a night where my dad goes to sleep at like 10 p.m. and I stay out till 1 a.m.
All right, let me ask you a question. Has your dad seen the predator side of you?
Not really.
Don't you think he's going to be disappointed when he sees horned up Adam out and about trying to buy chicks drinks so that he can get them sloshed?
I think he's going to be butt-sized with my drunk ability to keep a conversation going.
is that your superpower?
That's my superpower. Yeah. After a few drinks, if I'm talking to a girl, it's like they either want to leave immediately or they can't wait to hear the next word that comes out of my mouth.
Now, you said you alluded to the fact that your dad is on the dating apps during the segment. Is he going to have the dating apps out?
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. I think he's not. I mean, we did talk about, like, because it got brought up on the junkies, I asked him about, hey, the junk said, you know, AWOD and his dad are going to try to find a mother-daughter. And my dad said he'd be sized.
Are you kidding?
No. And I was a little cringed by it.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
What's gross about that?
The fact that it screams some sort of incestual relationship.
No, it's not incestual. It's separate.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I would never dream about making out or having sex in front of my dad. And this is like something.
I'm going to be honest with you. I went on a date with a girl, okay? And then we matched on the app and we talked. She was ended up probably being way out of my league. She wasn't sized for me. One date. All right? I told my dad about her. He said, no way. He had gone out with her mother. This is a true story. Oh, he had gone out with her mother.
That is so gross.
I don't know if he closed or not because I didn't ask for details. But I bet the daughter was silly, so the mother was probably hot too.
I bet you had more of a shot of closing than you did.
Oh, he definitely did.
I mean, are you gonna try and take notes from your dad? That's actually how embarrassing is that? That you're 28 years old and that you're gonna try and learn how to pick up chicks from your dad?
I guess it's. I mean, it's kind of something to be proud about, don't you think?
No, it's
like my dad's older than dirt, and he's still got game.
That's so trifling. That's so awful to think about. I can't believe.
You've never done anything like this with your dad.
No,
like you've
never
gone anywhere with your dad.
No, never. I'm not jealous that I'm going to be able to spend
4 days with my dad.
Hold on, I've gone places with my dad before. I've gone to.
Have you done father-son golf trips with just you and him?
No, but we've gone golfing together, or we've gone on the boat together. But everything's like a day long. I've never done
how
like
much,
a,
how much does your dad ask? Hey, when are we getting grandkids?
My dad?
Yeah.
Never.
He's never asked you that. That's a lie.
Never. He already has one with my brother.
Okay. So you're like the son that.
Yeah. So I don't. So it doesn't matter. Everything's all gravy to him and under his eyes with me. Now I will say this. I did do this.
Okay.
All right. And I'm joning on you for going to, down to Nashville with your dad. But when I went to Hilton Head, I went down to Hilton Head solo. But my parents had a place down there and they were staying there. And they said they had an extra room. And so they said, well, if you want to go golfing, you know, you can just stay here. So I flew down to Hilton Head. I basically stayed in my parents' second bedroom they had down there.
To save a couple bucks.
Save a couple bucks. And I would go golfing all day, then come back at night and see my parents. Oh, is that God. Nubs?
That is nubs. Because you're probably getting pummeled at the golf course.
No, because I walked a lot. I was butt hot.
Right.
And then I would meet them out for dinner or something like that.
Oh my God.
It's actually kind of embarrassing.
It is. It's a little embarrassing. You know, it's like the kid that goes away to college and then comes home for Sunday dinner with his family.
They need a home cooked meal.
Right. They need
to see mom. Need mommy to wash their underwear for them.
Right. Right.
No. I basically flew down there with my points.
You used them for their house then.
I used them. Yeah. I did. I felt bad about that.
Yeah.
Now I did take them to dinner to thank them.
Did you pay for the
meal? Yes, I paid for the meal. That's what taking them to dinner is.
You didn't do the alligator arms at the end of the night?
No, I didn't do that. I paid for the meal to thank them for having me.
All right.
But that is kind of nubs, though.
It is. I mean,
it's very high mob.
You kind of made it seem like, oh, this is a solo trip.
Golf trip. Okay.
Right.
No, I went down there.
It's kind of a family vacation.
I leached off my parents' place that they had down there. Because they were down there for like 3 weeks. And so I went down there, leached off of it for 4 days, and then went home after I got done golfing.
You know, I probably would have done the same. I mean, especially if knowing that they had an extra bedroom, you save some money.
Speaking of saving, we hope Drab feels better and saves his voice for next week when he'll be back on Bit Season.
Was he really moping around the office?
Oh my God.
I had to ask EB about that.
It looked like it looked like somebody killed his dog.
Like, I wanted a visual. So he was just very upset.
So he was upset. So that morning, I guess, when he was brushing his teeth, he weighed himself. All right. All right. And that number was so staggering on the scale, it sent him into a spiral, into a death tail. And he was moping around thinking about how fat he was. All right. And there's a possibility he might be faking his sickness because I think he might need a mental health.
You think thing. He called out fat?
Might have called out fat.
Well, I mean, I know that on air, it sounded hurting. Like, I mean, he was yelling at EB. That's his boss. And he's yelling at him, I'm not moping around. He's got this whole mindset that Drab is so important that he can't leave.
He was moping around. He was, definitely was. He was walking
but
like
here's the
EB.
Thing. I've worked
around.
In radio enough to know you don't mope on air.
Right.
You sound like a loser when you do
right.
that.
Right. You have to turn it on when the mics come on.
Right.
It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You got to be entertained.
You got to ham it up.
Exactly.
And he didn't do that.
He didn't do that at all. I mean, everybody was talking about it behind his back. He was moping around.
I kind of like that.
All right. So he would be walking around pretending to puke or something. He might have been puking because he felt he was fat. So he was puking into a toilet bowl. And then all of a sudden the next day, he checked out and said he had to go home. And apparently he didn't throw up.
He had to get his affairs in order before he left.
He said that he was feeling weak.
All right? So part
all of his symptoms you couldn't see in his face. Uh-huh. All right. So
typical
I can't,
of a Drab sickness.
Thing. So I can't tell if he's being weak. He said that he was sweating when he was home and that he was resting all day. I personally feel like Drab took a mental health day because he felt fat.
Hey, I'm all for mental health days.
But like you said, Drab called out fat.
He did. And here's the thing. I think part of him, he didn't want to leave because he's so obsessed with being a company man that he felt like, I am so important to this radio station that if I leave, the station will go off the air.
This is what I love about Drab. is that Dravet didn't care about the schedule or his APD duties or you know, booking guests for the junkies. He was more upset about bit season. And that's why I love Drab.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, I think Drab's one of those guys where, like, even when he's sick, he can still usually fight through it. But I think you're right. I think it was the sickness part of it with the fact that he didn't feel good about himself.
Right. He was feeling fat. How can we make him feel skinny on Monday?
I don't know. I mean, you should wear white, right? Because black makes you look skinny. Wear white.
I will. Maybe.
You know, we all dress up in white.
We all wear a sumo suit. We'll make him feel good about himself. All right, but anyways, that's it for episode 9. I appreciate you listening. Sorry Drab wasn't here. I know everybody loves Drab. Drab's everyone's favorite, right?
Okay, we'll get Drab's take on Pete Davidson and Kim K next week.
Yes, we'll get Drab's take on the book. I know he better not be ducking the book stuff, because I want him to be open and honest, just like we were. We were very open and honest, almost to the point where JP's going to grill us on Monday.
I think he will next week. Do you think we're going to get any tweets that said, "Who's Drab?"
No.
This is the new Bit Season crew.
No, definitely not. But episode 10, Drab will be back. And we will be back on Thursdays. Fridays, this was an anomaly. We were wondering if he was going to be in or not. So we will get back to our regularly scheduled programming, where we'll come out on Thursday afternoon. So thank you again, Adam, for filling in and second mic. Drab, feel better. I'm Matt Valdez. Thank you again listening to Bit Season. Tweet us any questions, comments, or if you're interested in sponsoring, at Bit Season on Instagram or on Twitter. See you guys next week.
Peace out.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.